Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. You know, it seems that more and more television shows and movies are focusing on apocalypse survival. As peaceful and nonviolent as my nature is, I admit to being hooked on the show The Walking Dead since season one. The zombies are disgusting, and the thought of them eating people turns my stomach. But as someone who studies the mind, I find it fascinating to watch the mindsets and skills of the players evolving as they face each new survival challenge. I would hate to think that our world would ever have to face an apocalypse. Though if we did, I don't believe we would also have to deal with zombies. But the thought of all the other challenges we would have to face is really overwhelming. What if the resources for help in our society no longer existed? No doctors, no hospitals. It would boil down to survival of the fittest. Thinking more realistically, it wouldn't have to take an apocalypse to create crisis situations where we may be cut off from modern medicine. Tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, terrorist assaults, these things happen all the time. And if we are to survive these calamities, we must be prepared. There are survivalists who are preparing for that very day. They have stockpiled food and water, medical supplies, defense weapons, and some have even built shelters. So imagine how advantageous some medical training would be to you, your family, and your community. Wouldn't you love to have a comprehensive guide to refer to, explaining every possible medical situation and how to deal with it, and have it written in layman's terms that you can follow right along with? Well, my guest today, Dr. Joseph Alton, who calls himself Dr. Bones, and his wife, Nurse Amy, have written it. The title of the book is The Survival Medicine Handbook, A Guide for When Medical Help is Not on the Way. Not only are they personally prepared, they want all of us to be prepared as well. They are both with us today to give us an overview of what it takes to be medically prepared in any crisis. The Survival Medicine Handbook is a 550-page medical school crash course that every household should have at their disposal. You never know when you might need it for long-term survival, even in wilderness or disaster situations. I'll tell you a little bit about the Altons. John Alton, MD, also known as Dr. Bones, is an MD and fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American College of OBGYN. Amy Alton, also known as Nurse Amy, is an advanced registered nurse practitioner. Together, they're the authors of this wonderful number one Amazon bestseller in survival skills and safety first aid, The Survival Medicine Handbook. And this is well known. They are well-known speakers, podcasters. They have their own show, which is called Survival Medicine, on Blog Talk Radio, and they'll tell us a little bit more about that. So I think it's time to bring them on so we can find out all this fascinating information that they have to share with us. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Randy. Thank you so much for having us.
Great to be here.
It's great to have you. So, again, this is Nurse Amy, and we'll just call you Dr. Bones, right? Is that what you want us to call you?
That's perfectly fine. Or you can call me Joe, no matter what, whatever you want.
You can call me Joe. You can call me Joe. Okay. Okay. In your book, you say that being prepared for these situations is akin to having medical insurance. What do you mean by that?
Well, let's talk about insurance. What is insurance? Basically, what you're doing is you're making some sort of investment in an effort to be able to be ready for an event. Okay, let's say for the death of a loved one, for a car accident, things like that. Of course, many of us have life insurance, but we don't want to die. Many of us have car insurance, but we don't want to have an accident.
That's right.
And so basically, being prepared from both a medical standpoint and a general standpoint is like insurance, except instead of having a document for which you pay money, you're basically putting together tangible assets, food and medical supplies and flashlights and weather radios, things that will help you in times of trouble. And it basically allows you to put together a good supply of items that will make your ability to survive and to do well in adverse events much higher, and it's essentially that way. It's, in my opinion, insurance against the uncertain future.
Okay. Okay. And both of you have actually done this in your own backyard, right? You have food, you have a fish farm, right? And you have an herb garden and all these things. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of – we've raised tilapia in ponds right here in western Florida. We have a number of different fruit trees. We have a number of container gardening. Amy is an expert at container gardening, and I am also a member of the Master Gardener Program through the Agricultural Extension Office in Broward County. And we have, right now, we're growing peas. We have pomegranates. We have we even have a cinnamon tree. We have the southernmost, as far as I know, we have the southernmost producing apple tree in the country.
And elderberry, right.
Yes, we have apple tree. We have a couple of apple trees, and they produce
green
apples.
And we have coffee. We have Arabica coffee.
Right, and that grows pretty well in shade around.
It's not easy to process coffee beans, I'll tell you, though.
But they're good when you do it.
But we have made coffee from our coffee. I mean, what we do is we'll buy a couple of plants. We'll see how they like South Florida, because you have to understand, when you're growing food, they have a particular grow zone that they're happiest in. Some of them have wider grow zones, some of them more narrow. Ours happens to be a very hot grow zone. We're in 10B. Some people claim 11, but it's really 10B. And there are not a lot of northern plants that are happy here. Like, we can't grow a lot of nuts. We can't grow peach trees, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, you have to find out what is happy in the area that you live in. And people who are in the middle parts of the country going horizontally have a very wide variety of things that they can grow. They're actually very lucky. I know they say, well, you guys can have citrus, but the number of plants that they can grow is just unbelievable. So things like lavender won't grow down here, but I make a beautiful grapefruit. You just have to find out what grows nicely in your area, and sometimes you can push the grow zone a little bit depending on where you put the plant. So it's right plant, right place. And once we find out that things are happy, then we get more of them. So we're trying to replace the unuseful plants in our surrounding area with things that may provide food or some sort of medicine.
And one thing that's very important for people to understand is that in South Florida, where we are way down here in the subtropics, our agricultural summer is during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just planted in November many of the vegetables that we're going to be growing.
Right, from peppers to tomatoes.
Right?
I have beets, I have celery, I have carrots, I have peas, I have several different kinds of beans. We have spinach, we mm-hmm. have Swiss chard. Of course, we have our herbs. We have rosemary, we have sage, thyme, oregano, dill. Fennel grows very well here, but you have to find out when your planting mm-hmm. season is. And again, it's different for each grow zone.
And it's funny because we are basically concentrating on medical things, but our most popular videos are our container gardening videos.
Right.
Nurse Amy's container cucumber
video has
about 350,000 views.
And actually, our first cucumber plant just emerged last night.
Oh,
so
yes.
So we have one growing. The variety is called Telegraph Cucumbers.
And oh, boy.
Really long and very prolific.
They're like 16 inches long.
Yay.
I'm so jealous of you because for my listeners, I live in the same community that Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy live in, and I can't grow anything except in pots because the soil in this community is so hard.
Yeah.
So I know you've really must have worked your yard to get it to that point. Well, let's move on to some of the things about how we can prepare for these disasters. So if somebody were to be a medic for their community and they wanted to learn how to take care of everybody should something happen, what would a medic's responsibility be?
Well, the first thing, if something really happened, let's say that there was a major flood and your water treatment plants were taken out or contaminated as a result, one of the first things that you as medic would have as one of your responsibilities is making sure that your people have access to clean drinkable water. And so it's going to be important. One of the things that would be important to know is how to sterilize water. And you can do that with 12 drops of iodine, for example, per gallon of water. You could do it with 8 drops to 10 drops of bleach, common household bleach in a gallon of water. You can do it also, interestingly, of course, boiling water will work fine, but you can actually use the sun to sterilize your water. Ultraviolet light will work fine to make your water drinkable. And for that, all you would need is an empty two-gallon plastic bottle of whatever drink you happen to have, empty it out, put water in it to about 90%, shake it up a little bit. Interestingly enough, it actually affects the taste. And just put it in open sun for 6 to 8 hours, and the UV light will actually sterilize that water, questionable water. So that's something that's very useful. Of course, it doesn't take particles out, and so you might consider making a filter with, pieces of a T-shirt and different size. Gravel, for example, or sand would make a perfectly reasonable water filter to get particles out.
Hmm. Okay.
That's one thing that I think would be very, very, very useful to do. Of course, one thing that's very important for a medic is to know how to deal with some medical issues. And so there are some excellent community programs out that teach you not only CPR, but teach you what we call community emergency response team classes or first responder classes. And these kinds of classes are excellent and many times very, very inexpensive, and they just involve a little time and effort, but it allows you to be able to deal with a lot of the common issues like injuries that you would deal with in, let's say, a major storm like a major hurricane or the aftermath of a tornado. So there are a lot of classes put on by your own municipalities that will teach you a lot and give you an idea of what you need to be able to handle. Of course, you want to be able to deal with burns. You want to be able to deal with simple orthopedic injuries. I mean, we'll be doing, if we were ever off the grid due to a major storm, we probably, just to function or to clean things up, we'd probably be doing a lot of activities, a lot more exertion than we're used to doing. So, you know, there's going to be vague injuries and cuts and scrapes. And so it's going to be important to know how to deal with those minor wounds and how to be able to, let's say, splint an injured ankle. These are some of the things that are going to be very, very important in the aftermath of a disaster.
Okay. Now, for the average home, now, you know, I read your book, and there's so many things that you teach us through this book. I mean, right down to toothaches and how to pull teeth, and I mean, there's pretty much everything you could imagine in this book. But if we were to choose how to put together a kit in our home to prepare for this, what would we want to have in it?
Well, I think that the most important things, at least from our point of view, would be to protect yourself from, say, viruses and bacterial infections. So you want to think of things like masks. You want to have a variety. There are N95s, which I'm sure your audience heard of last year when the Ebola outbreak was very in the news. Everyone was showing the mask and how the nurses and the doctors were dressing up to help protect themselves. And
right.
There are very special, expensive masks called N95. So you want to have some of those. But you also want to have your typical surgical masks, which are very cheap. They're called ear loop masks also. And they're typically a blue color. And you would put that on the sick person that you might be caring for so that if they're sneezing or coughing, the virus or bacteria would be caught for the most part within that mask and not sent across the room and to your nose or eyes or mouth. You also want to have a face mask if you can, something for eye protection. You want to have gloves. So you want to think about protecting yourself and also the person who's sick. You want to have things like disinfectants, lots of bleach that Dr. Bugs was talking about earlier, how to make. You want to have some Lysol spray. You also want to have antiseptics. So now you're cleaning the skin. Disinfectants are for surfaces. Antiseptics are for skin. So don't forget both of those. You want to have things to cover wounds. Dr. Bones was just talking about minor lacerations. So you want to have different things, not just a bunch of Band-Aids, but different size gauze coverings. And sterile gauze is your best bet for covering up wounds. You want to have things possibly for orthopedic injuries, so you think about ACE bandages. There are also special pliable splint material, which will help stabilize something that might either be sprained or strained, but also possibly broken. So if you have injuries that can be recovered from, but you don't have a hospital, you need to be able to at least take care of this person for either a short or long period of time, and those are very helpful. And then you want to have, you know, a variety of medicine, things for allergies, for colds, for pain, and you just have to think overall what would be something you can fit into a bag or into a plastic container, make sure it's well labeled.
Right. There was something really interesting that I saw in your book because, you know, as I'm reading it, you're talking about make sure you have antibiotics on hand. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, how are we going to have extra antibiotics because our doctors only really give us enough for whatever we need them for, you know, a 30-day supply or whatever it is. And then you explain that we can actually purchase some of these things in pet stores and aquarium centers. Tell us about that. That's really fascinating.
Well, I'll tell you, we are in a very unique position in that we are both medical professionals. Amy is an advanced registered nurse practitioner. I'm a physician. And also we raise
fish.
We raised, many years ago, we raised tropical fish. And now we've had tilapia. We have a pond on our property. And basically, for a very long time, when we had an infection, we might give them, for example, an antibiotic like amoxicillin. And when our fish developed a bacterial infection, like fin rot is a bacterial infection in fish, we would give them a antibiotic also. In this case, that was called fish mox. Now, for many, many years, we never thought twice about it, but when after Hurricane Katrina, we became more interested in medical preparedness after seeing that some people didn't survive simply because help wasn't able to reach them or they weren't able to deal with certain types of infections because of the lack of certain supplies. And so we took a look at our fish mox.
Yeah.
And we found that fish mox had exactly one ingredient, and that was amoxicillin. There was nothing in it that gave you nothing in it that gave you shiny scales, nothing that made your fins longer. It was one ingredient, it was amoxicillin.
That's it.
And there was the 500 milligram version and a 250 milligram version. And guess what? Those are the exact dosages that you use in humans.
Right.
As a matter of fact,
oh my gosh,
when we researched it,
yeah,
they don't produce it in any other dose but human dosages. And so the question was, why does your guppy need an adult human dose of amoxicillin to deal with infection? And some people mention, well, because it maybe could be because of you putting it in water. Well, the instructions are exactly the same if you put it in a fish bowl or you put it in a 300-gallon aquarium. And so that could be it. And so we took an even closer look at it. We took out one of our bottles of amoxicillin, 500 milligrams, that was produced by Deva Pharmaceuticals, and it was a red and pink capsule with the numbers and letters WC731 on it. And then we took out our fish mox, the 500 milligram version, and it was a red and pink capsule with the numbers and letters WC731 on it.
No way.
And if you go to, there are several websites on the internet that will allow you, let's say you went into grandma's house and she had a bowl full of pills and you said, oh my gosh, I need to know what she's taking. And maybe she's forgotten what these medications were. You can go on these websites. You can put in the shape, the colors, and maybe lettering or number identification on the pill that you have or the capsule. And the website will tell you what that medication is, what the dosage is, and who manufactures it. Well, you can do the same thing with fish antibiotics when you open them, is to go on these pill identification sites, and there's no manufacturers for fish medication. There are only human manufacturing for antibiotics. So those pills are sent to a bottling company. They're placed into a bottle with a label that says the fish antibiotic information, and they are sold mostly online to people like us who have fish that might be sick. And then the rest of those pills go to pharmaceuticals that to be dispensed by prescription to human beings. But they are all made at the same location, depending on the manufacturing company.
And we have a
that
number
is so
of,
amazing.
It is incredible.
Right. We have a lot of readers who work for pharmaceutical companies.
Research development.
Quality control.
Veterinarians, pharmacists. Every single one of those have all, many, many, many of them, written to us, called us, come to see us in person at our various speaking engagements, and they have all 100% confirmed exactly what we are telling you right now.
And so what that means is that...
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead, sweet. Go ahead.
Continue.
Well, we found a dozen antibiotics where we found an identical counterpart in either an aquatic form or an avian form in terms of bird medicines. Everything from Keflex to doxycycline to Z-Pax to clindamycin, sulfa drugs, all sorts. And the purpose of this is not, we don't want people to be their own doctors. I mean, this is specifically for a situation in which modern medicine is not available to you. I mean, basically, if in normal times, when there are doctors that can write you prescriptions, evaluate you, and make sure you have an infection and know what antibiotic will treat it, we want you to seek modern standard medical care whenever and wherever it's available. However, in some situations, if you found yourself off the grid, if something really bad happened, then there were people that would die as a result of doing things they're not used to doing. Let's say chopping wood. I mean, it's been a long time since I've chopped wood, and I'm sure that I probably would cut myself at one point or another. That cut could become infected, and without antibiotics available, I could easily die of something called septicemia when the infection goes into my bloodstream. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to save that one person, that avoidable death that would occur in a true long-term survival setting.
Okay. So how much would we want to have of this in our home, just in our little preparedness kit or big preparedness kit?
But this type of calculation really depends on the amount of people that you're going to be responsible for. I mean, now, the funny thing about that is that you may think that you're only going to be responsible for you and your hubby and maybe the baby, but the truth of the matter is that if people realize that you are medically prepared, they will flock to you for help. And so in this type of situation, you will wind up being responsible for a lot more people than you think. So the truth of the matter is that you can buy these antibiotics in bottles of 100 at a time. Yep. Try to get that many of any type of antibiotic from any of your physicians. And you'll find that you can accumulate as much as is absolutely necessary to deal with a long-term survival
system. I would recommend specifically just get if you are a family of two or three, just get a bottle of 100 of at least four or five different antibiotics. Honey, do you have the top four or five that you would want to
recommend? I would definitely say amoxicillin would be very useful. Doxycycline would be very useful. That's also known as bird biotic. It's a bird medicine. Fishzole is flagyl or metronidazole. That handles not only bacteria, but it also handles various parasites. And, of course, Z-Pak is very useful, otherwise known as aquatic azithromycin. So those are four or five. Those are several that you would see. But you can find Cipro, you can find ampicillin, you can find cleacin, you can find a lot of different ones. As I mentioned, we found at least a dozen.
Well, that's great. Now we want to tell the listeners, don't go out and start treating yourself right now with all these antibiotics. This is just for preparedness. We don't want you to OD on antibiotics and destroy your immune system. So we don't want that to happen. To be a successful medic. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, I was just saying that. Yeah, I had just mentioned it, and I'm glad that you reiterated it because this is something.
This is not about self-treatment. This is extremely important to know. We are strictly giving advice for people who want to store medications and medical supplies
for disaster.
There's no doctor. You have no choice. We are not telling people to avoid the doctor at all.
Right. Exactly. I just thought that was just fascinating, and I think you found it as fascinating as I did. What kind of characteristics make a good medic? What kind of personality? You know, if we're trying to figure out who would be the best to train.
Well, I think someone that is good with regards to dealing with adversity is very important. Of course, you want to train someone that naturally has a calm demeanor, somebody that can learn to regulate their emotions, because they'll see things that, you know, as the medical person that other people might not see. You might have to deal with bleeding. You might have to deal with broken bones, in which an arm may not be pointing in the right direction. You know, that type of thing. So you want somebody that has generally a calm demeanor, can regulate their emotions. You want to have someone that also has the ability to be confidential. There's nothing that takes away the trust and the effectiveness of a medic for any type of group as someone who can't keep their mouth shut and can't keep sensitive information to themselves. So that's going to be something that's very important. Now, it's going to be important to be realistic as a medic. There are some things that you won't be able to do much about, and you're not going to be able to do a cardiac bypass in you know, after the apocalypse or anything like that, or deal with a lot of things. However, but if you can adopt a realistic but positive attitude, you will be able to deal with about 90% of the things that you're going to see in this type of situation, and certainly in the aftermath of a disaster, especially if help might be able to be eventually coming your way, you can really handle the grand majority of the things that you'll be able to see. And the other thing that I think is really important, it's important for the medic to have the ability to develop relationships. So there's nothing that will make an existence more miserable than being a lone wolf. I mean, you want to have a supportive community around you, a community that knows that you are willing to help and that you have some medical skills and hopefully have accumulated some medical supplies. And I think that person becomes so valuable to their community that community will actually expend resources to protect that family, that person and their family. So those are, I think, some very important qualities to have and some important considerations if you're the medic for the group or the family.
Okay, that makes sense. You believe that standard medicine combined with natural or alternative healing is the best way to maintain our well-being, and I happen to agree with you, but I'd like you to explain your point of view with that. And I know that you grow herbs and do some natural treatments as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're very big proponents of what we call integrative medicine, and that means that we take the best from conventional and alternative healing methods to put together a way to deal with things that's going to allow us to get through whatever disaster is necessary. Now, we have to realize that a long-term disaster, no matter how many medicines that you happen to accumulate, drugs you manage to accumulate, those are eventually going to run out. So you are going to have to deal with the plants in your area, and you have to know a little bit about what possible medicinal benefits might be in the plants in your area. For example, in places that have willow trees, the underbark of a willow tree, not the outer bark, but the underbark, the green underbark of a willow tree, actually is a source of salicylic acid or salicin, which is aspirin. And indeed, the first aspirin was the first medicine commercially made. It was taken from the underbark of willow trees. And
wow.
So you can make a tea out of that and actually have the same effect as you have, let's say, with aspirin, or even just chew on the green underbark, you know, strips of underbark, and you would have that. Now, every plant has chemical compounds, and many of them have some medicinal benefit. Actually, many plants have many chemical compounds and have a number of different uses. And so one thing that a successful medic would do is learn what the plants are in their area, and number one, they identify which ones have medicinal benefits, And number two, put together a medicinal herb garden so that they'll have a sustainable supply of plants from which they can make teas and other kind of poultices and balms and salves, different things that you can do that will be useful to, number one, extend whatever medicine, conventional medicines you might have, but also that might be able to take the place of those medicines if they had to over the course of time.
Okay. That sounds great. We're about 35 minutes into the hour, and I know there's probably some things that you would like to share with us that maybe we have not talked about yet. So I'd like to give you that opportunity to take about 5 minutes and, you know, whatever you really want us to know.
Well, one of the things that I'm not only the first physician to write about the availability of antibiotics in disaster settings, but also I've talked about expiration dates as well and what the truth is regarding expiration dates. Expiration dates were first mandated in 1979 by the government in the United States. And what they mean is actually something different than what some other people mean, think they might. And an expiration date is simply the last day that the pharmaceutical company will state that that medicine is at 100% potency. Now, that doesn't mean that if you take a medicine that's expired that you're going to grow a horn in the middle of your forehead. That's not what's going to happen. These things will just slowly lose potency over time, and you might be surprised at how long it takes for them to lose potency. The government actually puts together warehouses for disasters of millions of doses of various medications. As you can imagine, the Department of Defense does this, FEMA does this, and what happens here is that after these medicines reach their expiration dates, in the old days, they used to take forklifts and they used to throw away billions of dollars worth of medicine as soon as their expiration date came about. But they realized that this was an expensive proposition, and the Department of Defense, in conjunction with the FDA, put together a program called the Shelf Life Extension Program. It was a study which identified 122 of the biggest medicines, or the most used medicines in times of trouble, and they checked to identify how potent they were after they were expired. And they found that almost all medicines in pill or capsule form were 100% potent from 2 to 12 years beyond their expiration date. So that's something that I think people should know. Do not throw away your medicine right away. I think that after it expires, I mean, when there's a time, when we're in normal times, you can get the doctor to write you new prescriptions. That's wonderful. But you might consider saving some of those, putting those away, because they will last longer and be potent longer than you think. Now, from our standpoint, what I'd like people to know is about us. We have a lot of resources that'll give you information. You go to our website at doomandbloom.net, doomandbloom.net, where you'll find 750 articles and podcasts and videos on medical preparedness for times of trouble. You'll see our Facebook groups, Survival Medicine, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, or our page, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, or Doom and Bloom. We have a Twitter. It's called Prepper Show, because we are very popular with the prepper community. Our podcast is Survival Medicine at blogtalkradio.com. You can find our video cast at aroundthecabin.com, the first and third Wednesdays of each month. You can see us live on video. And our book is The Survival Medicine Handbook. You'll find it on Amazon, and along with 250 five-star reviews. Also, don't forget that Nurse Amy has an entire line of medical kits and supplies for disasters and survival settings at her store at store.doomandbloom.net. We have pretty much just about everything you need. And one last thing is that we realize that it's difficult for people interested in this type of thing to talk to their family about it. So we actually designed a board game called Doom and Bloom Survival.
An actual board game. And it has miniatures now.
Yeah, and we talk about, and in the game you make actual decisions regarding survival, critical decision-making regarding survival, and the Prepared Family blog has given it its Teaching Preparedness Resource Award of the Week.
You guys are amazing. Wow, what haven't you thought of? Wow.
Oh, apps. You know what we haven't thought of is apps. People keep telling us we need to do apps, and that's like a foreign word to us.
Yeah.
We appreciate the suggestions, though.
Yes.
Okay, wow. You really are there for us, and that's wow, how comforting that is to know. I'm comforted to know that you're kind of in my own backyard, because I'll be over.
We're
happy to help.
And I like tilapia, so that's but anyway, no, that's really good. You know, what you were just saying about the expiration dates, I was just on I've called poison control 3 or 4 times in the last couple of days just to check out medications. And they've told me the exact same thing that you just said. But I ended up with back pain, and I had some muscle relaxers that were about 10 years old. I had some painkillers that were about 10 years old, and I didn't know if I could take them. And I took them, you know, after poison control okayed it, and everything was fine. So they worked, and, yeah, I agree with you. I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people don't know that.
That's true, yeah. It is something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
All right, it's something that most people don't know. I think that it winds up costing people not only a lot of money, but from a survival standpoint, when you need a particular medicine, after a disaster, you'll be very sorry that you threw that medicine away a couple of months ago, simply because it passed its expiration date.
Right. Right, right. Good advice. Thank you so much. Well, I want to thank you both so much. Again, the book is The Survival Medicine Handbook, and this is it's a guide for when medical help is not on the way. This is something that every home should have. I'm really glad that I have a copy here that I will be able to refer to should I need that for anything. But this is something every home should have, and it's written by Joseph Alton, A-L-T-O-N, M-D, and Amy Alton, A-R-N-T. Very, very, very good book, as comprehensive as you could just can't even imagine, with every kind of terminology and every kind of procedure you would ever need to know. So I recommend that you do purchase this for your home and be ready should something happen. We just never know. But thank you, Dr. Joe and Nurse Amy, and I appreciate so much you coming on my show and sharing this priceless wisdom with my listeners and me. So thank you.
Well, it's been an honor.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome, and have a wonderful day.
You
thank
also.
You.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. So, unfortunately, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments or questions about any of my shows, this show, any shows, you can write to me on my website, randygfine.com, randigfine.com. You can visit my website for pretty much everything that I do, links to all my shows and my books and plenty, hundreds and hundreds of articles. And just the website's just full of great information for everybody. And if you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. That would be great. There's always a button at the top of each show page where you can become one of my followers, and you'll be advised of the wonderful, wonderful programming that I have, just like I had today. I will have always offer you wonderful, wonderful information. And you can always email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. loveyourlife@randigfine.com with any questions or comments. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host, author, and counselor Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Better way.